Welcome to the Maximizing Outcomes Podcast, brought to you by Jim McGovern and the McGovern Wealth Group. Achieving bigger and better results with money, family, and business isn't about creating a bigger to-do list for yourself. It's about who can help you create results without you having to do all the work. Listen as we provide uncommon perspectives, powerful resources, and experienced people that can help you maximize outcomes in your life. Let's get to the show.
Every 2 seconds, someone falls victim to identity theft, unraveling lives and erasing years of hard-earned reputation. In the shadows of our digital world, personal details are traded like currency, leaving you vulnerable without warning. I'm Patrice Sikora, and on this episode of Maximizing Outcomes with Jim McGovern, we're peeling back the layers of this silent epidemic with an expert in identity theft and restoration. Jim, how often is this topic actually coming up in your day-to-day interactions?
Unfortunately, it's coming up way too often. In fact, as recently as just a couple of weeks ago, I had a phone call with a client who had their identity stolen, and I could just hear the fear in their voice. I could hear the helplessness they were feeling, the uncertainty of how bad is this going to get? Is this going to spiral out of control? You know, they're just kind of lost in terms of, you know, how do I shut this thing down? How do I attack this? How do I repair everything back to the way it was before this incident occurred? So, you know, not only did I want to bring this up on an episode, I wanted to bring an expert in who can speak to this issue, because it is something that's starting to touch everybody's lives. Yeah, we want to educate people on this topic, but more importantly, at the end, I want to provide some solutions to everybody. So I want you to stick around, especially if you're a client of ours. We've got an announcement to make at the end here, and I think you're going to have a nice surprise at the end of this episode here. So today joining us is Travis Mills. He is the founder and the CEO of Liberty ID. That is an identity theft restoration company that fully manages the entire process of restoring the identity of the members back to that pre-event status. So with that, Travis, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim, Patrice.
So Travis, tell us just a little bit about, you know, what leads somebody to start an identity theft restoration company in the first place. Tell us about your professional journey that led to the creation of this company.
That's a good question. Unintended consequences. I wasn't necessarily looking to get into this business. I had some predisposition to compliance and regulations with the federal and state regulators and bureaucracies. But I had an identity theft myself back in 2009. So we started Liberty ID in 2010. I had credit monitoring at the time, and the people that were monitoring credit in the day said that credit monitoring could prevent actually identity theft. And in this day and age, most of us know that it can't prevent anything. And they changed their verbiage to say that it could protect us from it. Well, there are 32 forms of identity theft, and credit monitoring can only detect two of those 32 forms of identity theft. And so we thought something was wrong with people buying credit monitoring services and thinking they had something that they don't have, only to find out that they didn't have what they thought when they needed it most. And so we started the first fully managed identity theft restoration company in the world in 2010.
So when we were talking last week, actually, starting to create an outline for this episode, you know, it really opened my eyes when you said there was 32 different forms of identity fraud. So can you, not to go through all 32, but can you just shed some light on what some of those forms of identity fraud are? Because I think most people are familiar with what you already mentioned, where they're thinking of like, hey, if my credit gets stolen, and people are taking out credit cards in my own name, but that's just like the tip of the iceberg.
Right. And so I'll start with that. Credit card fraud is typically not even really identity theft, but we do fix that as well. There's a couple other ones in there, believe it or not, utilities in your name, utility fraud, family fraud. A lot of times people will steal their family members or grandmother's identity and go to work on it. And we fix that as well. Decedent fraud, which is, you know, kind of a big one because the victim is dead, has passed away, unfortunately, and their family is left to pick up the pieces. And so these nefarious people, criminals, watch the obituaries and go to work based on what they see right in the paper or the electronic paper online these days. And so that's particularly heinous. And then right down to 50% of all medical or of identity theft is in medical nature, believe it or not. And that's because our medical either suppliers of healthcare or our healthcare insurance, our medical insurance has all of our information, not just what our bank has. They have everything right down to blood type. And it can be particularly burdensome, actually, if somebody gets their identity stolen through one of those hacks. And there's no monitoring whatsoever for that. You just find out in some correspondence, either through your insurance company or through your healthcare provider. And then one that I'll just mention today, because every American is just about to or has already filed their taxes. IRS tax identity fraud is huge. And when we first started doing this, I was kind of pretty nervous about working with the IRS, but their system just works. And so they've got a series of starts and stops and grace periods. And during that time, they do the work they say they're going to do. And we advocate on our victims' behalf. The waiting time to get your case heard is 355 days, so almost a full year. We help our victims jump that line. And we call five departments deep into the IRS, and we speak with the same people all the time. Quite honestly, bureaucracies like the IRS are glad that consumers or U.S. citizens have somebody like us advocating on their behalf.
Can you just spend a minute just talking a little bit about what IRS fraud, like what that does? Like what is the criminal trying to do? How do they use the information and what kind of damage can they do to somebody?
Yeah, they're specifically, not even typically, I almost said, trying to get money back from the government. And a lot of people, probably like most of the people listening in, say, well, I've never gotten a tax return in 20 years. I pay in every year. Well, that's where the fraudulent part comes in. The criminal doctors the tax return to show that they get a return. And so it doesn't matter what the reality or the truth is, that's how it goes. And so typically when that happens, you'll file your taxes and the IRS will say, well, you've already filed. And at that point in time, the IRS will understand that it wasn't you the first time. So they're sympathetic and realistic to the, so there's not a lot of having to prove it, although frequently you do. You have to bring your proof that it wasn't you. And that's what we help with. And then it's the series of starts and stops. And if you go at it on your own, or even with your CPA, who are great people, we all use them, but they don't know how to unwind and work with the IRS. We work in conjunction with your CPAs and your tax vendors, if you will, to help remediate this and fix this fraud. If you go it alone and you need to do something from, I won't say minimal, but buy a car or a house, and you have to show 3 years of tax returns in order to make a major purchase in life or take out a loan of any other kind, you'll be dead in the water. Your life will be upended until this gets resolved. And so it is a 6-month process, even when we skip the line on your behalf, but it just works, like I said. And we have done, I would say, a third of all identity thefts we do are in the IRS tax area. And a half of everything we do are in medical, like I said earlier. And then the rest of the 30 forms comprise the rest. And there's quite a few of them, don't get me wrong. And they're all as burdensome, but some are quicker than others.
Yeah. I'm just thinking of all the people that I know and a lot of our clients, you know, high income earners, and they're, you know, maybe paying quarterly estimates or trying to, you know, make sure that by the time they get to file that tax return, they're all squared up with the IRS. But I guess all a thief has to do is file a fraudulent tax return, maybe late in the year, and say, oh, my income was actually a lot less than what I was paying in for. And then they're going to get a giant refund wired to God knows where. Is that pretty much the way it works?
That is the way it works. As a matter of fact, in one case, there was over $50 million sent to the same PO box in Romania. So the IRS, it's kind of a running joke or a stereotype from Americans to the IRS. Nobody loves them, but they have a hard job. There's over 330 million of us out there, and they've got systems in place. They know what they're doing. But you would think by the 10th million dollars they sent to the same PO box, something would trigger a red flag. Yeah, at any rate,
their own monitoring service here.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and it does now. This was a while ago, but the point is that it easily done, and they realize it. They started handing out PINs, P-I-N-s, to people that had tax return compromised. And then that PIN system was hacked. And so the criminals put all of our PINs on the dark web to be sold and bought. So electronic filing doesn't ensure anything either. You'll just find out quicker that somebody else has filed before you. And not to take one final shot at the IRS by any means, but a few years ago, the only advice they could give was file your taxes early before a thief does.
And yeah, beat the thieves to the chase. Unbelievable. Yeah,
exactly.
One other type of fraud I wanted to ask you about before we move on is, because I think this is the last thing that a lot of people think about is child ID theft. Tell us how that works.
Yeah, great one. Carnegie Mellon a few years ago did a study, if you will, and they said that 51 children under 18 are 51 times, not percent, times more likely to have their identity stolen than we adults.
Wow.
Primarily because they don't have a credit file and they're not getting alerted and their parents don't see it, but they do have a social security number. Jim, I'm probably older than you are, but when we got our social security number was when about 15 and a half, when we first started to go to work and get a job. Now the social security number is in the mailbox before mama gets back from the hospital.
Yeah, I was going to say, so, it's right when you're born. You already have your number assigned to you. Yeah, it's crazy.
Exactly. You get it. And at any rate, those numbers are easily deduced. People can grab them, and they're all being hacked from healthcare again. That's where they get the infant ID number, social security numbers as well. And what happens is that the criminals get to toil away for years. It's not until they're maybe 16, 17, 18 years old when they start applying for some kind of credit card or a bank account or an apartment or a college loan or what have you, that they find out that, whoa, they have defaulted on 15 credit cards and they have a default on a home loan in Monrovia, California, and they're from Pittsburgh. You know, yeah. I mean, it's just crazy. And, wow. And this happens all the time.
Let's shift gears a little bit and just talk about the impact this can have on people short term as well as long term. I think you already started touching this a little bit. Maybe you have obviously without sharing client names, but you even have a couple of stories you could share with, like, what happened to somebody and how did this nightmare just progress in their life?
Sure. Quite honestly, one of our first cases, we were sitting around when I was doing this company, starting this company, like I said, in 2010. We actually found it in 2010, did a 2-year research project to figure out what this space was all about. And we would meet in Minneapolis for an onsite every 6 weeks. Otherwise, we were a virtual company way back then, actually. And so we'd meet for an onsite, and in the Minneapolis paper was a woman whose identity was stolen 3 times by her realtor. And it was crazy. It just went on and on and on. And she wasn't even a client of ours, but we were testing our processes. So we decided to take this woman's case on, and we were able to successfully resolve it. Another one related to that is home title fraud. We see there are people marketing specifically home title fraud restoration. Well, home title fraud is one of the 32 forms of identity theft. It's not frequent, doesn't happen often, but people get freaked out because our home is our largest asset or purchase that we make in our lifetime. And so if somebody takes it away, it's a problem. So we fix that. That doesn't toil on too long, but it scares a lot of people before it happens as well as when it happens. It's really the IRS and the healthcare stuff that doesn't take a lot of time other than the IRS one, because it's a prescribed waiting period of starts and stops, like I said. But it's the fact that even if you have one of these, and I don't want to say inconsequential, but easily resolved forms of fraud, identity theft is the gift that keeps giving, Jim. You're six times more likely to have a reoccurrence, potentially in one of those other 31 areas, oftentimes more complicated ones, based on kind of a trial identity theft by the thief. So we keep an eye on things, and we make sure that the fires are extinguished during that time. And it's just kind of always with you.
It's because your information is already out there. And once they have it and they know how to use it against you, I mean, it's, yeah, they may have taken one form of fraud as far as they could, but they just switched to a different type.
No. Our information is so valuable. It can be reused by thieves over and over again.
That leads me to another question I had for you is that, I mean, so much of our lives are online, and then you throw in the power of artificial intelligence. I mean, it's all we're hearing about nowadays is AI. It's everywhere. Mm-hmm. And that's creating a whole new host of threats that didn't exist before. So what are some of the things that you guys have seen thieves try to exploit through the use of these new technologies?
Well, particularly nefarious is the 32nd form is artificial intelligence. And it almost even to me sounds like, well, bandwagon jumping, the evil AI. Well, the truth of the matter is that while I'm sure there are many, many, many more forms of artificial intelligence that will benefit society, this particular one is particularly heinous. All of our digital footprints are huge these days. I carry around a cell phone like everybody else does. And we use them, and I'm going to go down a little bit of a rabbit hole, Jim, but when people ask me if they should use their internet through their phone at Starbucks, I said, absolutely, if it makes your life more convenient, but just don't do your banking on it. Make yourself a smaller target. Well, these thieves now are using certain forms of artificial intelligence, and what they'll do is they'll take from social media let's say your 16-year-old daughter's voice imprint, and not even the words she's saying, just the tone, the tonality, the inflections, what have you. And they can replicate her voice and type in a script to call you, Jim, and say, Dad, I'm in big trouble. I need you to wire me some money at school, and I need you to do it here and there. You wouldn't know the difference. And so families have to have code words, safe words, whatever you want to say when contacted that way. Big news organizations have shown this to happen where the reporters have had AI replicate their voice, call their own mother, the reporter's mother, and fool that mother right on tape. So there are third-party media accounts of this everywhere.
Yeah, I first heard about this. I forget what channel I was watching, but they're covering a story about a woman who got a very credible sounding call from her daughter, mm-hmm. and she was in trouble. She had been kidnapped. I mean, it was really, she said her heart was pumping, and you know, she's going along, she's answering the questions, and the only reason why she didn't totally lose her mind is because her daughter was sitting in the next room.
Yeah.
No. But she said if she was out with her friends, she would have completely fallen for it because it was that authentic sounding. I just think it's something that I'm glad you spoke about it, because I think it's just, we have to raise awareness around this, because I think you're right. We do need code words, and we need a way to, you know, I remember growing up, I was like, hey, if there's a fire, this is where our meeting spot is, right? And it's like, hey, if this happens, we've got to have code words. We've got to have ways that we can sort this stuff out.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll just take off on one other form, if you will, when we're talking about kind of it's one thing to steal somebody's identity for money, but another one to play on the emotions of people and get them all freaked out. Veterans and active duty military are four times more likely to have their identity stolen than we civilians.
Wow.
And
why is that?
Well, they're in all of the civilian databases commercially, and they're in every one of the government agencies as well. And every one of them have been hacked. And so if anybody ever thinks there's any preventing data breach, if they could, our government think what you want of the government, but our government databases wouldn't be getting hacked. Chief Justice Roberts' identity was stolen. Oprah Winfrey's was stolen. You name it. We work with some of the biggest banks in the world and some of the biggest celebrities. If there was preventing it, some of these billionaire superstars would not come to us to fix it. However, back to the military, and this kind of plays on two ways, is that active duty, living military, or veterans that have served our country get hacked, and it manifests just like it does for us civilians. But they'll also, in a decedent way, go to the widow or the widower of a military person, service personnel killed in duty, in the line of duty. And they'll use that emotionally charged time of somebody's life and the little bit of chaos to infiltrate, even posing as former teammates, if you will, platoon mates, so to speak. And there's got to be a special place for these types of people.
Oh, yeah.
At the end of the day, man, it's just...
I mean, they'll pull out all the stops. They don't care how vicious it is. They'll just they'll exploit people.
This Unreal. Can be more than burdensome. This can be a real traumatic issue for people.
So if somebody, we live in this do-it-yourself society, you know, it's like, oh, I can watch a YouTube video, I can figure this out. So if somebody has been the victim of some kind of identity fraud and they're trying to fix this themselves, I mean, where do they go? What do they do? What does that process look like? How time-consuming is it?
I'll start by saying that everybody, we buy insurance, car insurance, we never think it's going to happen to us. Although we know that it's prolific but we can't relate to it. We're protecting ourselves from our future condition. And so that's hard for a lot of us to get our minds around until it happens. What most people hear about or think is that they can do it. They're smart enough, and they probably are. And this isn't rocket science. We don't have an AI or a special algorithm. We roll up our sleeves. We have the American laws on our side, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, Gramm-Leach-Bliley, and we hold the feet of our victims' creditors, insurance companies, you name it, to the fire through the law, which consumers, I don't care how smart you are, may not know. And they'll try to stonewall a consumer no matter how long they've been your vendor, no matter how good of a relationship you've had, because they don't want to pay out on that. At any rate, we get them to do it online on the FTC website. You can download a series of 42 different virtual or kit to fix your identity of what to do, form letters and this and that. And most of our competition right now, big companies send you the equivalent of that 42 page form kit to fend for yourself. That's not of any help. Again, I don't care how smart you are. You just don't have the time to do it. We got a letter yesterday and they signed up for our services, extended services actually, because they spent 2 hours online with one of our competitors with no resolution whatsoever. So first and foremost, everybody's heard of B2C, business to consumer, B2B, business to business. We're in the H2H business, human to human. We advocate for people, and we just never fail. And I'll talk more about that later.
And because I definitely hear more about the Liberty ID restoration process and have you walk through like what do you guys do for people, kind of time frame you're looking at, how much aggravation is avoided when they partner with somebody like you guys. But before we jump into that, I think a lot of people are under the false impression, and it's probably because of the power of marketing. And I don't want to mention any names, something like that, but I think people sign up for these services, like these credit monitoring services, and they get alerts about, hey, a loan's been taken out in your name, you can lock your credit file. And they think that that has somehow shut down the ability for somebody to steal their identity. And that's just simply not true. So I was hoping you would spend a minute or two talking about what those services do, and then let's jump into the Liberty ID process.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a place, there's a time and a place for credit monitoring, of course. There are two forms of identity theft that can be detected by it. And everybody, you know, the marketing plays on the fact that other than our homeownership, our money is what we Americans care most about. And so, and rightly so, you know, that's our access to living in society. And so they play on that fear, but they don't tell the whole story. Secondly, You don't need to pay for credit monitoring in this day and age. Every bank that you do business with, every retail organization that you have a credit card for, everything, everybody that you do business with in a financial way is already monitoring your credit and will let you know. And we've all had experience with that, either through a text or through shutting down the card itself at a gas station, you know, 800 miles away from our home, outside of our normal use habits, so to speak. So that's credit monitoring for free. You know, I don't, again, it's just too bad. It's one step better than the criminals themselves. And like I said earlier in the show, the only time people find out that it's of no value is when they need it the most. And they call up and go, well, where do we go from here? Well, nowhere.
Okay. Here's a 42-page checklist. Good luck to you.
Yeah. Good luck advocating for yourself.
So let's say that I'm a member of Liberty ID. I know you guys have various packages, but I sense something's off. What do I do?
Yep. You just call our 844 number and tell us what's up. We triage it, determine the best specialist for you. And then we, within 24 hours, our specialist, usually the same day, actually, within hours, our restoration specialist will contact the victim and get a case opened and get the ball rolling. Usually we can resolve all except for the IRS fraud within 3 to 5 days. The IRS fraud, like I said once before, takes 6 months, 180 days to resolve. But while we're doing that, you can still operate freely in society. And we have disclaimers from the IRS so that you can do your banking or buy a home or what have you. All we need is your address, your phone number, and your email at that point in time. We don't take any further information. Even before you're a victim, we don't gather any confidential information, including your social security number, and especially not bank accounts and that type of thing. So we're not another repository for a data breach. And then once we do need that information, people are happy to supply it because we can just fix the matter. If I may, Jim, we do this very intentionally. So once you talk to this restoration agent, that is the only person, and you always have access to me and the member services people, but that's the only person that will ever contact you throughout the life of the case, if you will, up to 5 years. We do that very intentionally. So you're not scratching your head wondering, well, who is this person? Is this person really from Liberty ID? You have a direct link to this person. You have his or her personal phone numbers at work, and then their personal email. So you're contacting them directly and they you. After hours, we put together an intranet, if you will. We call it a client care account. And so if you sit up straight in bed in the middle of the night, worried about something that happened, you can go and log into your customer care account and see what the advocate did on your behalf that day and make requests for a call back first thing in the morning. We keep on top of it. We never close a case until the victim, our client, says that they're satisfied with it. That's why I can say we have 100% efficacy rate in fixing people's stolen identities. And then we don't even close the case. We keep it open for one more year, and we do apply a veneer of certain monitoring that is beneficial based on the case itself, not just a blanket, but specific monitoring, because now we know what we're looking for. Before an incident, there's red flags in all of our lives, and no monitoring service knows who did what intentionally. Only the victim or the consumer would know that they didn't take a loan out for a Toyota Camry. Yeah. None of the companies know that, and that's why we set our service up like we did.
So this has been awesome. I mean, eye-opening and also very disturbing as far as just the vulnerability that we all have with all this. Anything else we should know about the Liberty ID process or what it's like if you are breached and you need some help?
There's no preventing it. I'm not trying to pull the fire alarm, but there's no preventing this stuff. All of our information is stolen 3 times a year. The FTC says that over 1 billion data files of consumers are stolen annually. That means 300 million of us it happens to us 3 times a year. Like I think I told you the first time we talked, you could unplug, throw all of your electronics away, shut every account you have and move to a cabin in the woods, and you could still get your identity stolen. It's out there. There's no amount of blocking, stopping, freezing that can help. I'm not suggesting you don't do it. I'm thinking about doing it myself based on the last AT&T breach. We hear about them all. It's commonplace. Hundreds of millions of files are lost all the time. You just have to have a plan in place, and that's why we do what we do. We have people's backs, and we had a case on Friday evening, and we just made sure that she knew through email that we had her back, that this isn't going to be a quick process, but we've never failed, and we won't let her down, and we have her and her family's back. And as the tip of the spear of conversation and communication, that's what I've found to be the biggest, other than resolving the case, obviously doing what we say, it's the clear communication in a timely manner, not leaving people hanging.
Agreed, because it's a panic moment and you're in uncharted territories. You haven't had this happen before. It's scary. You can't put your finger on it. You don't even know who's attacking you. But I think having, like you mentioned, that human-to-human contact where someone says, hey, we've been there before. We've guided countless people through this. You're going to be okay. It won't be quick, but it's going to be okay in the end.
Yes.
So with that, here's the big announcement. So if you go on the Liberty ID website, which is www.libertyid.com, you'll notice there's different membership levels. The highest membership level they have is called the Extended Family Plan. And this covers you. It covers your spouse or your partner. It covers your parents. It covers your spouses or partner's parents. And it covers your kids under the age of 25. So if any one of those people has a breach and they're a member, they can reach out to Liberty ID and be taken care of. So if you go on the website, the current membership price is $399 per year and includes all those people. So what we're not going to do is say, hey, here's a discount code. Thanks for listening to the episode. So we are providing the Extended Family Membership Plan complimentary to all of our clients. So if you're listening and you're a client of ours and you like what we talked about in today's show and you're a bit concerned, don't worry, you're already a member. So if you think your identity has been compromised, just reach out to us. We'll get you in touch with the team over at Liberty ID, and we'll get you on the road to getting your ID restored back to the way it was before the event occurred. So Travis, I want to thank you first off for being a great new partner of ours. We're excited to roll this out to our clients, and thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on the show today.
Well, Jim, thank you for your business, and it's very meaningful because it's not just you and, you know, the McGovern Wealth Group buying this for your business. You're extending, you're trusting Liberty ID to extend this to your clients, your lifeblood. And I happen to know you guys live by a mantra that it's the client and only the client. And I can tell you that every action Liberty ID takes, is designed to meet your client's needs and not ours. And so a lot of the people listening will understand what you've done for them. And those that don't quite get it yet, when they have a problem, they will.
Awesome, Travis. Well, again, thank you so much for joining us. And Patrice, let me turn it over to you to wrap us up.
Well, I must say that was one sobering episode, gentlemen. Very, very informative. Eye-opening, as you said, Jim, but really sobering, makes you sit up and think a lot. So, Jim, how can people reach you if they want to find out more about Liberty ID and more about you?
Absolutely. So if you want to check out Liberty ID, just go to their website, www.libertyid.com. If you want to check us out, you can go to our website, www.mcgovernwealth.com. You can also send us an email at info@mcgovernwealth.com. Just tell us you're a fan of the show and let us know how we can help.
And by all means, make sure you follow this podcast, Maximizing Outcomes, to know when the latest episode is ready for you. More information like this in every single one. And of course, share with others. Thanks for being with us.
Thanks for listening to the Maximizing Outcomes podcast, brought to you by Jim McGovern and the McGovern Wealth Group. Be sure to follow the show to be notified when new episodes become available. To suggest a topic or guest for a future episode, or learn more about how we can help to maximize outcomes in your life, visit our website at www.mcgovernwealth.com. This podcast is intended for general public use and is for informational purposes only. Guest speakers and their firms are not affiliated with or endorsed by Park Avenue Securities, Guardian, or McGovern Wealth Group, and opinions stated are their own. By providing this content, Park Avenue Securities, LLC is not undertaking to provide investment advice or a recommendation for any specific individual or situation, or to otherwise act in a fiduciary capacity. Please contact a financial representative for guidance and information that is specific to your individual situation. Guardian, its subsidiaries, agents, and employees do not provide tax, legal, or accounting advice. Consult your tax, legal, or accounting professional regarding your individual situation. Jim McGovern is a registered representative and financial advisor of Park Avenue Securities, LLC, PAS. Securities products and advisory services offered through PAS. Member FINRA, SIPC. Financial representative of the Guardian Life Insurance Company of America. Guardian, New York, New York. PAS is a wholly owned subsidiary of Guardian. McGovern Wealth Group is not an affiliate or subsidiary of PAS or Guardian. CA Insurance License Number 0F67329. AR Insurance License Number 7119103. California Insurance License Number 0F67329. Arkansas Insurance License Number 7119103.
Compliance number 2024-172719 expires April of 2026. Third-party sites and material are provided for your convenience in locating related information and services. Guardian, its subsidiaries, agents, and employees expressly disclaim any responsibility for and do not maintain, control, recommend, or endorse third-party sites, organizations, products, or services, and make no representation as to the completeness, suitability, or quality thereof.